August 9, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Speaker, Interim Pastor Tom Brazell. Sermon title, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Denominationally aligned with any Pentecostal group per se, like a denominational thing, but in faith, in our beliefs, we are Pentecostal. Some might call it charismatic. We believe in the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. Signs, wonders, healings, deliverances, prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, things that come from God. We believe in all of that. I just wanted to read you. Now, does anybody need the notes? Because we can deliver them to your chair if you need them. Anybody? Okay, I want to just read a little bit to you. Not too much, but just a little bit, because I want to trace something for you before I get into this message. The first thing is The Origins of Modern Pentecostalism, written by Vincent Finan. Vincent Finan is a very, very noted Christian historian. He says this. He writes, "The first Pentecostals in the modern sense appear on the scene in 1901 in the city of Topeka, Kansas, in a Bible school conducted by Charles Fox Parnham, a holiness teacher and former Methodist pastor. In spite of the controversy over the origins and timing of Parnham's emphasis on tongues, all historians agree that the movement began during the first days of 1901, just as the world entered the 20th century. The first person to be baptized in the Holy Spirit accompanied by speaking in tongues was Agnes Osman, ended up being a missionary to China. One of Parnham's Bible school students who spoke in tongues on the very first day of the new century, January 1st, 1901, according to J. Roswell Flower, the founding secretary of the Assemblies of God, Osman's experience was the touch felt around the world, an event which made the Pentecostal movement that made the Pentecostal movement of the 20th century. One of the things he says, and you have it, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's written in there. But one of the things he said is after a day or two of various people just receiving the Holy Spirit, being released with tongues, he says, we got past any begging or pleading. We knew that the blessing was ours. And that's where I want to be today. I want to be past begging and pleading and just stepping into what is ours through Jesus Christ. Okay, so that began something, and there was a guy who was touched by that, and his name by golly. All right. His name, and this there's a reason why I'm doing this, okay? His name is William J. Seymour, who actually was African-American. He's a black brother. And the Azusa Street Revival was a historic Pentecostal revival meeting that took place in Los Angeles, California, and is the origin of the Pentecostal movement. Now, but Parnham, he affected Seymour. They were connected, historically connected. It was led by William J. Seymour, an African-American preacher. It began with a meeting on April 14th, 1906, and continued until roughly 1915. And I know from reading other things that they would have round the clock. There was never a time when they weren't having services for all those years. People would come out, people would come in, they'd start up again. The revival was characterized by ecstatic spiritual experiences accompanied by miracles, dramatic worship services, speaking in tongues, and interracial mingling. Could we use a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now? The participants were criticized by the secular media and Christian theologians for behaviors considered to be outrageous and unorthodox. How many want to be outrageous and unorthodox? That can be put on my tombstone. He was outrageous and unorthodox. I'll own that, especially at that time. Today, the revival is considered by historians to be the primary catalyst for the spread of Pentecostalism in the 20th century. So the roots the roots of this church are directly connected to Azusa Street, which was directly connected to Topeka, Kansas. Well, out of Azusa Street, there was a brother. Could somebody raise this up for me a little bit? Out of Azusa Street, there was a brother that was touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. His name was Ivan Spencer. Ivan Spencer became the founder of, thank you so much, of Elam Bible Institute, where many students were trained. One of the students that was trained was a man named Edwin and his wife Anna Lee Vandruff, who was the founders of this church in 1950. And since then, there have been people from that stream that have been part of this body ever since. So what I'm saying to you is that what I'm about to teach you today is nothing new. It goes back to the very initial roots of this church and of Pentecostal theology. Now, back in the day, there were people who said that's ridiculous, that's absurd, and there are people who say that to this very day. I don't know about you. I think I do know about you, but I know for sure for me, I don't want to be in the presence of a God who is not supernatural. God is, by very nature, God is spirit. He is supernatural. And if we come into the presence of God, if we come to Him, we should expect, there should be an expectation of something more than the natural. If all we have is the natural, sleep in. Why bother? But that's not where we're at today. We are believing God, and we've been moving towards this for seems like a very long time, probably does to you as well. But we have looked at the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, the gifts He pours out. And anybody who wants to miss any of that, it's all on our website. You can go back and hear those teachings. But what I want you to know is that what I'm about to teach you goes back to the very initial founding of this church, which can be traced right back to Topeka, Kansas in 1901. The dots are all connected. So, hallelujah. There are five instances of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the only historic book of the New Testament that we have. So these are the only historic accounts. And we're going to touch on each one of them, but we're going to do it quickly. Because as much fun as it would be to look at each one very in-depth and go through all that was going on, we just don't have time. You would still be here at 5 o'clock tonight if I did that. So we're just going to look at what we need to look at today. But you can read all of that at your leisure. We want to look at the experience, and we want to look at the evidence of the experience in each case very quickly. The first one, as you would expect, would be the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, let me just read it for you. In the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had come, that's where the word Pentecostal comes from, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see with the coming of the Holy Spirit, there was a hearing, there was a seeing, and there was an expressing. They heard a sound, mighty rushing winds. They saw tongues of fire, and they spoke with other tongues. Now in this particular experience, there was no laying on of hands at all. It was just a very sovereign thing that God did. The second one we see at Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was actually a Roman. And there's a whole great story about how Peter ended up at his house and all that. We just don't have time. But Peter went to Cornelius' house. Cornelius summoned him. He came to his house. And he began to talk to Cornelius about Jesus Christ. And while he was speaking, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. Let's read it. Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46, or 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking these words about who Jesus was and how God had raised him from the dead, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those who of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Well, how did they know that? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they knew that the Holy Spirit had been poured out, not because they had a little chill or their hair stood up on the back of their neck or anything. They saw, here these Gentiles, we're talking, the Holy Spirit comes and they're speaking in other tongues. Tongues that were never learned, just as the Spirit gave utterance. Again, we see there is not a laying out of hands in this particular event. The third one we see at Ephesus. Okay, and I told you we would go through this quickly, and I'm going to do that because we got a lot to do today. In Acts chapter 19, the first six verses, these are very interesting verses. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Now, if someone is called a disciple, they're a follower of Jesus Christ. They're believers. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard as there is a Holy Spirit." Maybe some here today are saying, "What the heck are we talking about? I didn't even know there was such a thing." This is your day. All right. So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there was a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus." But when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And it says there were about 12 men in that experience. And so here we have Paul comes to this group of people, and he says to them, they're believers, and he's talking to them. He realizes, man, I remember, it was very interesting when we were first saved. These stories take too long, but they're fun to tell sometimes. We were just saved, and we got saved in a Catholic charismatic prayer meeting back in 1974, was it? Five. Okay, so we got saved. Now, the way they did it, and I really need to tell you how we got saved one of these days, but just suffice it for today, we did. It was genuine. And we saw people all around us were filled with the Holy Spirit, manifesting things like tongues and prophecy, and we were hungry for that. And so the way you did it is you had to go through this seminar that they gave us called Life in the Spirit Seminar. And so we signed up for that. But there were so many people that signed up for that. This was like, what, Judy, would you say May or something like that? Probably May. And we were, and it was like a 6 or 7 week thing, and then the seventh week they would pray for you and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we were in September, so that's how long we had. So we're like, oh, rats, September, this is a long time. So during that time, we got connected with these Christian hippies, and so we were doing this coffee house, which was an outreach, and they asked me if I would play my guitar and sing. And I came to do that, and people got saved when I sang. So I want to tell you, God is a powerful, powerful God. I just want you to know it. But anyhow, at the first time, I got up there, and I did some songs, and I really didn't know. I kind of only knew the songs that we sang at the prayer meeting. I was pretty newly saved. And so I sang it, and a group of them came up to us after, and they said, "Well, that was really nice." They said, "You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit." They could discern that. I said, and here's my answer to them. I said, "I know we're on the list, you know." they said, "The list?" I said, yeah, the list. And they said, "We don't know anything about a list, but you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I realized they were saying, "Do you want to, like, now?" And when I realized that, my heart was like pounding in my chest, because I wanted this. And so they took us outside, and they laid hands on us, and we took us outside because the coffee house was just one room, and there was no office. So they took us out in the parking lot, and me and Judy and another guy, and they laid hands on us, and we went down. I mean, we didn't know what we were supposed to do, but we went down. And so they were praying for us, and interestingly enough, we broke into hysterical laughter. And we had never, I mean, obviously we hadn't heard of that. And I actually had forgot about that until like 94, 95 when some of this was happening in the church again. But I digress. So I think we went like 3 days. We hardly slept. All we did was speak in tongues. It was an amazing experience. So why am I saying all that? I said because we wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We wanted that so bad. And they were saying, yes, but you wait till September. You're on the list. We don't have to wait till September, even though September's kind of close. You don't have to wait. Okay. So anyhow, it said Paul laid his hands on them. In this case, they did lay hands on them, and they spoke with tongues. And I just remember that so vividly. Laying, as a matter of fact, if I recall correctly, we kind of, and this happens sometimes, it could happen today, that you get overwhelmed with the Spirit, and it can, you really kind of just lose your balance. And so that's what happened. We went back under the power of the Holy Spirit, but there was a mud puddle under us. And so here were these guys holding us up from the mud puddle. They were praising the Lord. They were holding us up from the mud puddle. It was an amazing experience. But did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? I had to say no. But we're on the list. Okay. So you're not on any list except his A list. And so we don't have to wait. And actually what we've been doing all these months is we have been preparing through the Scriptures to bring our hearts to a place where we really want what God has for us. So they were called disciples. They were believers. They didn't know that there was... let me tell you another little story. It was very interesting about this. We took our brother-in-law... were they married? They weren't married at the time. It was just my friend at the time. He was evidently got eyes for Judy's sister and married in. But at that time, he was just one of my best friends, my best man at my wedding. And we're telling him about Jesus and how Jesus saved us and how he's changed our lives. And we were just not quote unquote witnessing. We were just overjoyed with what God had done in us. So we're telling him. So he was interested, so we said, we'll take you to this prayer meeting. So we were still going to that Catholic prayer meeting for some reason. We went for a while, and then we did other things. But we took him there, and we told him. So at the end of it, I took him in the back of the room and sat him in a chair and said, now before you say anything, because my anticipation was he was going to reject it. That was what my thought was, he's going to reject this. So I said, before you say anything, let me tell you a few things. So I talked to him about Jesus. I talked to him about the cross. I just went through about five different things I felt to share with him. And then I said to him, Is there? Do you have any questions for me? And he says, yes, I had all those questions, and you answered them in the order that I had them. So that was kind of cool. So I said, okay. So we prayed with him, and he got saved. He's still saved to this very day. He's been a faithful elder, deacon in churches. He loves the Lord, and so does his wife. And so all these years, they're still there. But we said to him, now, Dan, there's more. And he said, there's more? I said, there is more. He said, what is it? I said, come with us. So we went to my house, and we had this rocking chair in our house, just a wooden rocking chair, that turned out to be the chair we put everybody in. When we were going to, I don't know how many people got filled with the Holy Spirit in that rocking chair, but he was the first. We put him in that rocking chair, and we told him about the baptism, and then we baptized the Holy Spirit. We said, do you want this? He said, yes. Laying hands on him, and he was free. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was speaking in tongues, and still does this very day, I presume. So anyhow, this is something God has for us. We need to know the Lord. We need to have surrendered our life. The song we sang, I with my life laid down, I surrender all. I surrender everything. We sang that song. And so we need to do that. It would be a very dangerous thing to pray for someone to be filled with any spirit if they're not saved. Because I don't know what would come. You know, I really don't know what would happen. But if you know the Lord, you can say, I want this additional experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? No. Who is he? We haven't heard of him. And so Paul laid hands on them. And they spoke with tongues. There's that sign again. And the next one, I got way late in my story. Sorry about that. But the next one is Samaria. And we see this in Acts chapter 8, 14 through 19. This is a very interesting account. So we'll take a couple minutes here. It says, now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, these were people who had already received the word of God. They were already followers, they're already believers, but the apostles came that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. And when Simon, we're going to talk about Simon a little bit because he's interesting. Simon was a sorcerer. He was one of the guys that ran around there doing magic things. And I don't know if he was a phony, or if he had legitimate satanic powers. I don't know. It seems to indicate that he actually had supernatural power that came from some source other than the Holy Spirit. When Simon, the magician, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, let your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. So we have this magician who's doing magic tricks all over the place, but he saw something that day he'd never seen before. And he thought this was so interesting that he was still in the magician mindset. He wanted that power too, so that when he laid hands on someone, they would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read, let's back up Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11, and we'll see a little bit more about him. And there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people. So whatever he was doing, people were like, wow, look at that. They astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. A lot of people doing that these days. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great, is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. So we got this guy in that town, and everybody knows he's got the goods. He's a supernatural kind of guy. And so he's doing, I don't know what all he was doing, but he astonished everybody with what he was doing. But when it came to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he saw something that he'd never seen before. And he wanted to add that to his little portfolio of things to do. And of course, Peter rebuked him strongly for that. So there is no mention here that tongues was spoken. But I feel that there's a strong evidence that something very unusual, that it was, I believe it was tongues, was actually the thing that said to him, I've never seen anything like that before. So anyhow, Paul's conversion, that's the next one. This and the last one, Acts 9:17. And you remember Paul is going on to Damascus. He's going to raise Cain with the church and take people away and put them in prison and all of that. And God meets him on the road, knocks him off his horse, makes him blind, speaks to him. Paul says, who are you, Lord, and what would you have me do? He surrendered to him, said, go into Damascus, into this place, a street called Straight, and you just wait there. I'll get to you when I get to you. And so a few days later, Ananias was called. God said, go, Ananias, go to Paul because he is praying and fasting. Go to him and minister to him. And Ananias argued with God a little bit, and God won. And so Ananias went, and he says here, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say anything more. It says that scales fell from his eyes, so there was a healing there. But it doesn't say anything specifically about evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we see in 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So it doesn't say it there, but we know that he got it. Hallelujah. All right, those are the only five historic instances of this experience that we have in the Bible. A recap. Three of the five accounts specifically mention tongues as the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The remaining two indicate it. In Pentecost, it says they spoke with tongues. In Cornelius' house, they spoke with tongues. In Ephesus, they spoke with tongues. In Samaria, something something happened that was very astounding, and Paul, he spoke with tongues more than you all. And so some hold that tongues is the only initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't necessarily believe that it's the only, but it is the only one that certainly removes all doubt. If you speak in tongues, there is no doubt that you have received it all. So that's history. What about us today? Okay, well, first of all, check my time here. I'm doing well. So first of all, it's God's will. I want you to know that it is God's will that each believer would be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. It's His will. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." We heard a bit of that this morning. Corporately, there was just people just praising God in song that nobody wrote, and Shay had a few spiritual songs that God just put in her heart, and she shared them with us, and we are blessed by that. But it tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. So there's three things to note. This is for everybody. This is for every believer, to all of us. Secondly, it's an imperative. It doesn't say, well, you know, if you like it, or, you know, if you get around to it, or, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to. It doesn't say that. He says it's an imperative, be filled with the Spirit. This is what God wants. It's part of His overall equipping of the saints to do the work that He wants us to do. What work does He want us to do? You have to come for another message for that. That's on its way. But for right now, to do it, you are going to have to be filled with the Spirit. And then He says, this is an ongoing thing. It's be filled is actually be being filled. It's a continual action, and so we come back to Him again and again, and we say, you know, it's not another baptism, but it's a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. So when we come to Christ, let me just clarify a couple of things, in case you're kind of wondering what some things that might be in your mind. Maybe this will clarify them. When we receive Christ, when we become Christians, we do receive the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about it. It says in Romans 8, it says that, but you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, thank you, Jesus, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I remember this so vividly when I got saved. I had such a miserable home life and such a miserable father. And yet when I came to know the Lord, something in me was touched, and all of a sudden I realized He was my Father. There was a Spirit of God in me that just cried out to Him. Something I didn't do one day and something I couldn't stop doing the next day. What was the difference? I invited Christ into my heart. And second, we're all baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So that's the baptism by the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit takes us and we come to Christ and He immerses us or He places us into the body. This is the body of Christ right here. This is one of the many hundreds of thousands, millions of expressions of the body of Christ all around the world. So as we are believers, we are placed into one body here, but we're placed into the universal body of Christ. We're connected with believers all around the world because we have that. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into that. The Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The seal is like a guarantee. It's like you're going to buy a car and you go to the lot and you say, "I want that car. Here's $500. I'll be back with the rest of the money." That guy knows you're coming back for the car. How does he know? Because your $500 is there. We know Jesus is coming back for us. How do we know? Because the Holy Spirit is in us. We are sealed by that. It says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." We are the purchased possession, by the way. Okay. And with all of that good stuff, and how many of you know that's all good stuff? There's more. That's what I said to my brother-in-law, Dan. I said, "Dan, that's what you got. But there's more. Do you want it?" He said, "Yes." I hope you do too. Acts 4:30 and 31, we see the disciples, they're being threatened. And it says that they went and they prayed and they cried out to God that they would, that God would use them and stretch forth his hands to heal and all that. And it says, in the place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. These were the same ones that were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now they're getting getting topped off. Okay? Sometimes you just need to get topped off, you know, a full tank. When, as a driver of a vehicle, when I look down at that gas gauge and it says full, I'm happy. When it gets down to half full, I'm not so happy. When it gets down to quarter tank, I'm thinking, I got to find a gas station, okay? So we want to be filled. We want to walk around with our tanks full, okay? So now, how? We're to the how part, and this is not difficult. Sometimes we don't receive because we make it difficult. It's not difficult. How do we get filled? Well, we believe, and we ask. And we receive. That's how we do it. Luke 11:13 says this. I love this verse. It says, if you, and you might put your name there, you might read this and say, but if you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, there's a whole story here, but he's saying, if your child, you're imperfect, you don't do good, but if your child asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? If he asks for a bread, are you going to give him a stone? Of course not. Who would do such a thing to their children? And so he says, if you, he says evil, being imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to who? To those who work for it? No. To those who fuss over it? No. But to those who ask. Remember what Barnum said. He said, we stopped our begging and pleading and we realized that this was ours. This blessing was ours. It's yours. There's nothing you can do to make yourself worthy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has got to do that in you, and so he has if you've allowed him to do that. But sometimes I've prayed with people, and they're so uptight, you know. So just relax. You know, it's like you're at a party, and it's your birthday, and people are just coming in there, here, take this. You don't go, oh! You just take that gift, you know, and you're happy about it, you know. So it's just, don't fuss. Don't stress. God's got this. He's already revealed his will. It says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's your part. You ask. You believe. There's a place of faith, and I'm believing right now that faith is rising in your heart, because this is for you. This don't be thinking this is for the person next to you, although it is, but God's speaking to you. He wants you to have this. Well, why haven't I had it after all these years? Have you asked? Have you believed? That's all we have to do. And once we do that, once we believe, I believe, I do, I have full of belief right now. I believe, I ask, and then I open my heart and I begin to receive something from God. Now, let me just throw this in. Some people have amazing emotional experiences. Some have experiences like we had. Some really don't have a lot of. I mean, some are kind of stoic about it. Actually, it's so I can't figure that one out. But God does what He wants to do in each one of us, and whether or not we get a chill or whether or not we feel, you know, the hair on our arms standing up or anything, that is not the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right. It may happen. It may not happen. I don't know what's going to happen on that level. But I do know that how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you got to be saying in your heart right now, all right, I'm going to ask. I want to ask. And so that's all we need. We don't have to strive. We don't have to try to work something up. Matter of fact, please don't. It cheapens the whole thing if we're trying to fabricate something. Can't fabricate this. It's God does it or he doesn't do it, but I believe he wants to do it. So your feelings really are irrelevant. It's your faith that's relevant. Now, when we pray, you need to believe, you need to believe, you need to ask, you need to receive. But then as far as you're concerned, what happens then? Well, it says in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit gives the utterance, but you do the speaking. Okay, this is where this can be, because we are used to formulating words in our brain, and then we speak. Of course, some of us don't do that either. But some of us don't do it. But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, all right, so we're aware intellectually of what we're going to say as it's coming out. Sometimes we speak too fast and all that, but you'll understand. It starts here in the mind, and it goes like that. Well, this doesn't do that. This starts in your spirit, and it rises up. Now, that means that your brain is not engaged. That is the blessing of tongues. We talked about that when we talked on it, that we can bypass the finite. We can bypass our understanding. We can pray in the Holy Ghost according to the will of God because we don't necessarily know how to pray, but God does. And so he bypasses it. That doesn't mean we should never pray using our brains. We should pray with the Spirit, pray with our understanding. Sing in the Spirit, sing with our understanding. But in speaking in tongues, if you're trying to formulate it here, you're gonna just sit there. Because it's not coming that way. It comes here. And so you have to begin to move the parts of your body that God gave you for speaking, which would be your vocal cords, your mouth, your tongue, and say, okay, well, how does that work? Well, the best thing I can say to you is that you take a step of faith. You begin to let your mouth just do whatever it wants to do and just give voice to it. That's it. And you will find a language. Now, sometimes the language is pretty rudimentary. Sometimes it doesn't sound very fluent, maybe the same thing over and over. As you exercise the gift, you find greater faith and you find that develops even in a greater way. But it doesn't matter if you get two or three words in tongues or 1,000 words in tongues. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you speak in tongues. And so you begin, and another thing that often happens is people that are there and they're praying in front of baptized in the Holy Spirit and they start speaking in tongues and immediately they stop and say, whoa, that is just too weird. You know, that's just too crazy. And so they stop and they begin to try to analyze the whole thing. Well, don't do that, okay? Check your brain at the door, all right? Don't take it with you into this experience. Just what we saw 5 times, God baptizing people in the Holy Spirit and being released in the gift of tongues. So what you're going to do is we're going to pray for you. I've been thinking about this for weeks, and we'll talk about exactly the logistics how we're going to do this. Worship team, if you could kind of get to your stations, because they're going to help us. When we pray for you, I'm not planning on laying hands on you, all right? Because I don't want anybody nervous. I do plan on doing like this and having, and we're going to have some other people in the church. They're going to have their masks and all that. We're not going to try to get in your face or real close to you or do anything that would make you uncomfortable on that level. So you can just be at peace with that. And we're going to pray that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to believe. You're going to echo that request. And then you're going to open your mouth. You're gonna use your vocal cords. If you're waiting for God to come and grab your tongue and do like this, it's not gonna happen. It's just it is a matter of faith that you would just step and give voice to it and trust God to meet you in that. All right, so we're gonna do that. So we're gonna do that in just a moment. Before we have that prayer, there's just something I can't make any assumption of, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, doing wonderful. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for believers, those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and have been born again. And so I'm just going to ask you all just to bow your head right now. This is a very personal time. I want everyone here to receive this experience from God that will literally change your life. But in order to receive it, you need to be a disciple. You need to be a believer. And so would you just, in your heart, if you're ready to receive Christ and you've never done it before, or maybe you're backslidden, maybe you did years ago and you just haven't been walking with them and you want to reestablish that relationship, just follow with me in your heart to this prayer. Father, we thank you for sending us Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died on the cross and paid for all of our sins. That as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord put our transgressions from us. We thank you, Lord, that we are saved, body and soul and spirit, because of Jesus Christ. And we receive right now the grace to save us. We thank you, Lord. Wash us clean from our sin. Make us new creations in Christ. Cause us to be born again and to know you as we've never known you before. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have prayed that, and maybe you have a past that's a little dicey, it's under the blood. You're a new creation right now. You're a new creation in Christ. And you are a candidate for, as I said to my brother-in-law after he got saved, I said, there's more. Do you want it? And he said he did. And he got it. I'm saying to everyone here, there's more. You've never received this. So what we're going to do is we're going to, if you want prayer. Now, there's several things I really want to pray about today. It all has to do with the Holy Spirit. But first of all, for those who want to be baptized, those who just feel like maybe I have been, but I've never been released in tongues. Maybe that's where it's at, or you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'd like to, I'd like to just kind of step out back where those chairs are over in that area, and we'll meet you back there. Don't be shy. I mean, this is something. If somebody, I remember somebody was preaching once, and he pulled out a $20 bill, and he says, "Who wants this?" And everybody just sat there looking at him until one girl, about 12 years old, she comes, she grabbed that $20 bill. And he said, "That's yours." And then they're all saying, "Oh man, why didn't I go up there? I could have had that $20 bill." But if there was, took somebody like that who had enough desire to step out of a comfort zone and say. So I understand nobody wants anybody looking at him or anything. I get that, but we're talking about gift of God. So if you want to, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to be, then just go over there right now. We put it back there so you don't have to walk up in front of everybody or anything, but just go over there. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you've never been released in tongues and you would like to be, we're going to pray for you today. And then if you are, and then our worship team is going to lead us for a little while. We're going to go back there. And then we're going to come back here, and then for all those who just want a fresh touch from God, the topping off, if you will, we're going to pray for that as well. So, worship team, if you will just take it from here, and I will go.